This is my commentary for the passage I read from The Ghostwriter on pages 129 through 134. I'd just like to start out by saying that I really enjoyed the whole femme fatale section of this book. It really developed characters that were introduced earlier on, and I didn't really understand them before, and now I feel like I do, even though I kind of took this section after reading the rest of the book to be entirely Nathan Zuckerman's fantasy. Having said that, I also really appreciated the storyline for what it was, the drama involved in this whole section. Whether or not this whole section is a product of Nathan Zuckerman's imagination, I think Roth is just trying to keep us thinking, really, about the concepts he'd presented earlier in the novel, finding a balance between art for the sake of self-expression and the balance of, you know, appealing to your audience, knowing your audience when creating your art. So I chose this passage not because it came to any conclusion about these concepts, but this is where we really discover the character who is the Amy, who is Anne Frank. And I thought this was important as a contrast to the Nathan Zuckerman character as a writer, and I thought that this passage did a really good job of developing Amy's character as, you know, a real person that she wasn't before. She was just like the sexy girl who's there. So I really appreciated having more to her. Throughout this whole section, the indecisiveness of Amy's thought process, essentially, was very well done, I thought. I mean, she's placed in a really difficult position. We know that on one hand, if she goes and finds her father, lets him know she's alive, she'll have a family again, she'll have a father figure again who's not Lanoff. But on the other hand, she'll discredit her own work, what she's done, and disillusion her audience. One of the things that I liked about the femme fatale section of The Ghostwriter was that I thought the indecisiveness of Amy's character, Anne Frank, whomever, going through her thought process of whether or not she should let her father know she's alive, I thought that was very well done. She presents different reasons and goes through different stages thinking about how she should find her father and how she should present herself to the world as being alive and the author of this book, whether it would discredit her work, whether it would be worth being with her father again to have a father figure in her life, etc. What struck me the most is that the original reason, she didn't seem to have a specific reason at first for not immediately going to find her father. I thought that was very interesting. All she says at that point is that she had been dead to him for some 4 years. Believing him her dead for another month or two would not really hurt much more. So why doesn't she immediately contact her father and let him know that she's alive? She certainly feels guilty about it. She lies in bed at night and cries and begs forgiveness for the cruelty she's practicing on her perfect father. She obviously feels very strongly about this and wants to get in contact with him. Why doesn't she? One thing that stood out to me in this passage is that Amy exhibits extraordinary self-control. She says, resolutions were her strong point as a young girl on her own. How else could she have lasted on her own? She refuses to talk about what happened to her during the war. She burns her arm, for example, to get rid of her concentration camp number that was tattooed on her arm. She waits a really long time to open the package, even though she really wants to see what's inside. She won't rip it. She won't tear off the string with her teeth. I think that this may be a reaction in some way, this self-control, to feeling helpless earlier on in her life. She wants to show the world that she has some power over her surroundings, even if it's just by controlling what she does. Maybe she won't get in touch with her father, just showing that, you know, she's not in pain anymore. She really doesn't hurt. And she can, even if she does, she won't show it. She refuses to. My first thoughts and reactions to all this, these self-controlling actions was, wow, she has incredible strength to get through this and to control herself in this way. And it made me think back to her description of herself as the strongest weakling. The actions that she's chosen to take do show incredible strength and great weakness at the same time. There really is a dual nature to each of the actions she's taking. While she's resolving not to speak about what she's been through, she's also doing so to not deal with the memories she has of what she's been through. She doesn't have to deal with people's kindness if she denies being a refugee, if she denies being a Jew, if she dresses in her pretty American girl's beige linen skirt. And I do admire the fact that she wants to move on from what she's been through. As she wrote in her diary, this is page 142, "The time will come when we are people again, and not just Jews." She wants to get to that point. She also says during the passage that I read, on page 132, if she was going to be thought exceptional, it would not be because of Auschwitz or Belsen, but because of what she had made of herself since. To become the person she wants to be, not the one shaped by the tragedies of her past, over which she had no power to avoid, is a very bold resolve. And to start anew, truly on her own, without Otto Frank, the only family she has left, is very difficult. However, because Amy didn't give an initial reason of why she didn't want to go see her father, I think that she's actually just afraid to go see him. She keeps mentioning over and over again that her father is now 60. This kind of sets in a reality for her that she hasn't actually seen him in a very long time. And reality, especially for her and all she's been through, is a really scary thing. What if she came back to him, physically and emotionally, and was rejected in some way, if he was disappointed in her? She said in the passage that I read, page 129, would a weak 16-year-old girl undertake a journey requiring money, visas, requiring hope, only to learn that at the other end she was as lost and alone as she had feared? I think this speaks definitely to what she's going through after she'd been to England, after she'd been to America, when she found out Otto Frank was alive and looking for her. Not just in Switzerland, not just when she had the opportunity to go there and try and find her family. She is afraid that she could confirm that she's really alone. What if, for example, Otto Frank had reacted to Anne returning to him the same way that Nathan's father had reacted to his short story? If he had said, "This is not good for the Jews. The audience will take from your work now what you don't want them to. It will present us in an unfavorable light." What would that do to Anne? This is a fantastic contrast between the two writers in this book. Amy is outright lying about her experience by denying who she is, by denying even being a Jew, whereas Nathan tells the truth about his life in his short story, and he's criticized by his family, the people who he would want to have support him. Which of these authors shows stronger character? Which writer has taken the better option for themselves? For their families? For their audiences? For the Jewish people? This is the concept, or debate, that Roth wants us to take from his book, The Ghostwriter.